This is CliffCentral.com.
Isbuza Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday morning already, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. You guys have been running things here for me for the last couple of days, but it feels to me like the shortest week ever. Man. Alrighty, let's get your morning started, shall we? CliffCentral.com, and we have an action-packed burning platform with Justice Malala later on. Loads of good stuff to keep you company and to keep you entertained, informed, surprised, inspired, motivated. Yeah, that's how we work. Well, I mean, you know, most of the time. We try to keep it reasonably upbeat. That's how people want to be. Who can blame them? God, you read the news, man. I paid no attention to the news in the last, 4 days?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to stay away. Like, there's stuff in the news that's interesting, but a lot of it is such bullshit. It really is. And you get all, like, wound up by it, and it can make you either, like, really, really miserable and unhappy, or it can make you really angry.
Mm.
And it's so unnecessary. Like, how much of it actually affects you is what I always ask people.
Not much. Not directly, no.
You know, you read about this guy saying this to this guy. You read about this kind of law, or you read about this kind of nonsense. There's always something going on in the news. How much of it really hits you, though? Not a lot. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know why we get upset. I don't know why we allow this stuff to upset us. And I don't think we should do it anymore. But I do think there's some good news when you bother to look for it. I saw that Outer have announced Dr. Makhosi Khoza as their head of local government strategy.
Oof.
How do you like that? So she's found a role. Because remember, she was thrown out of the – well, she kind of exiled herself from the ANC.
Yes. I think between her and the ANC, everybody was happy to see her go.
Yeah. But she was a good woman, and she was doing good stuff, and she was very brave at the time. And I kind of felt like she was – building herself a reputation, which you're allowed to do as a politician. Some politicians get very uptight. They're like, oh, Makhosi Khoza was all, it's all about her. She's trying to make a, you know, political home for herself. Of course she's going to. That's what she does.
Well, remember there was talk of her starting her own political party, and then everyone kind of rolled their eyes and said, no, don't do that.
Yeah. Unnecessary. But, I mean, she was brave. Remember, this woman was taking on, like, the whole Zuma establishment, and there were people threatening her life. Remember, KZN's youth league said, here's her address, go and kill her.
They were threatening her kids as well.
Yeah, she's a traitor. So I'm proud of her. There's something newsworthy that's actually pretty damn good. And then there are a couple of things I want to get to this morning, but I thought this was hilarious. This is Dr. Phil, all right? And you know,
with your mom.
Listen to this quickly. This woman is on Dr. Phil. She's got to sort out something with her mom.
You wrote in to me. Tell me what you wanted me to get straight with your mom.
I want my mom to understand that I can't live off of $1,000 a month, and I grew up on a certain lifestyle. She can't just take that away from me immediately.
All right. So I was watching this clip last night. I was thinking I've got to show or play everybody this thing this morning and just get your thoughts on it. So this girl says her mom is putting her on $1,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
which she doesn't earn. She just, and she's in her 20s. She looks like she's in her 20s. She's 15.
Oh, yeah.
That's even worse, though, because at 15, how can you be spending $1,000 a month? This is insane, right? I mean, $1,000, that's 12 to 14,000 rand
mm-hmm.
a month.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about this for a second. Here she is. Listen to her story.
If someone took her lifestyle away from her, she wouldn't like that. And I grew up on it. It's all I ever know. I can't deal with this.
She says if her mom had to have that taken away from her, she wouldn't deal with it. Well, who do you think's out there earning the money, honey? Who's doing this? It ain't you.
And so I came to you for help.
Okay. So you want me to get her to do what? What would be the home run for you?
I need her to understand that I need at least $2,500 a month. She works all the time. She doesn't do anything for me. She doesn't drive me anywhere. And so other people would have their moms, like, drive them places, buy them food, make them food. But I have to do everything myself. and I need the funds for that.
Yeah.
So do you do that? When you have the money, are you in there in the kitchen frying up stuff and mixing up batter?
No, I'm buying food.
So you eat out a lot?
Yeah. I make food at home, but then I get bored of just... I don't like cooking because it just makes a huge mess, and then my mom gets mad at me. And I don't like cleaning up the huge mess and doing the dishes.
Aww.
And then I just don't like eating at home because it's the same boring food.
You say she's...
All right, so she doesn't even like washing up. She's not being given this $1,000 a month to, like, take care of household chores or things. Did you ever get, like, money just because? I didn't even get pocket money. I had to work for that goddamn money.
I got pocket money because I was in boarding school.
Right, but so, that's different because you're away from home. And
you're away
no
from home, and then your parents want to feel like, you know, you are okay wherever you are.
And all the other kids are getting pocket money, so they're like, oh, I suppose we have to give my belly some.
Yeah, and I mean, back then, back in the Cretaceous era, it wasn't that much money.
How much you get? You remember? Because I remember I thought 50 Rand was so much money.
Yeah.
Jesus, I thought it was a lot of money. And you could, I mean, you could dine out at the tuck shop. Yes, for 50 Rand. I mean, if I got 50 Rand, it was like in a month. But 10 Rand at the tuck shop could buy you a lot, you know?
Mm.
I know it sounds ridiculous, and we are like sounding old by mentioning how much it was for us, but... I got to tell you, like $1,000? And this chick is eating out every week because she says, you know, if she stays home and she eats there, it's for food's boring.
Mm.
Like little princess deserves, you know, gourmet meals. And her mother, by the way, she said the reason she deserves this money is her mother's working the whole time. She doesn't seem to see that as – she sees that as her mother choosing work, not as her mother trying to provide for her. Mm. It's just unreal how, like, totally self-absorbed this girl is. And then she doesn't want to cook because it makes a mess, and then she doesn't like cleaning that up.
And I don't like cleaning up a huge mess and doing the dishes. And then I just don't like eating at home because it's the same boring food.
You say she's not there for you. How do you get to school every day?
I do online school. I don't go to school.
You don't go to school?
I don't go to, like, public school for other reasons.
Why not?
Like, I just got traumatized. I can't get into that right now, but...
You got traumatized?
Yes.
Part of it is that she couldn't keep up with the lifestyle of the
kids
in Beverly Hills.
There's other reasons. I'm not just like being a brat about that.
But you don't go to school, do you? So you
I do online school.
How's she doing?
She's doing okay. I had to push her a little bit to get some of those grades up, but when she wants to focus on something, she's doing good.
Yeah, and I like it because I can like actually focus on it because I also was behind like in public school. I was really behind. Because it would go so fast, and so now I can actually take my time. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. And I don't have the pressure that I had at school and everything.
Wow, her life is so hard.
Yeah, relatively speaking.
And she's now doing... She was traumatized. Yeah, you know, that word gets thrown around a lot. ask anyone just, you know, 10 or 20 years older than a 30, 40-year-old, and they'll tell you about trauma and like having to... Like fight, actually fight, like whether it was during the struggle, whether it was in a war, like that's trauma, honey. Going to Beverly Hills schools and like not having the same dress as the other girls is not a trauma. She studies at home because she's unsocialized.
She didn't actually have to say she studies at home. We got it when she started talking. Pretty obvious.
But you see, somebody raised her to be this way.
Well, her mom's a single mom, and she's out there trying to earn money. And I don't think she's being raised because her mom is working so hard to pay for all her goddamn expenses that she doesn't have a prime parent. There's no dad in the picture.
Nice. And I don't have the pressure that I had at school and everything.
Yeah. So you want a G-Wagon for your 16th birthday?
I need my G-Wagon.
Well,
hang on a second.
Because there was live without that.
There was something that kind of slipped under the radar there. She said it helps her because she doesn't feel so much pressure. Now, when did feeling pressure become a bad thing? Like, that builds character. Feeling pressure is what motivates you. It makes you work harder. If you're comfortable and if you're not pressurized, life is good. You can keep things going the way they are. You will never be successful. You will never attain anything important. Pressure is massively important. The more pressure you have in your life, the likelier you are to turn into something. You know, a diamond doesn't get formed from softness and generosity and kindness. And a diamond is formed by heat and violence and pressure. That's what happens. How many people do you know who've been through absolute shit and they've emerged on the other side with strength? That's what people, we don't hear stories. Often we interview people here. You know, immediately I'm thinking of some of the people who've lost husbands, wives, family members, who've gone through real serious difficulty in their lives. I'm talking about like pain and abuse and really difficult, nasty things. And the reason we want to talk to them is because we're all admiring their story and the fact that they emerged unscathed from it on the other side. This girl's life is about avoiding pressure and avoiding responsibility, and now she needs a G-Wagon.
There's no question. I need it.
There's no question.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah. My mom's buying a Bentley for herself. Why can't I get a G-Wagon?
Why do you need a G-Wagon?
I really want the G-Wagon.
I understand you want it, but why do you... You said, I need the G-Wagon. Why do you need
G-Wagon? I really like the way it looks. I've wanted one for over 2 years now. Every time I see them, you see so many of them near my house, and I just... Every time I see one, I'm in awe. I love them. They're just... The interior is so nice, and there's no blind spots at all. Like, it's so big and open. There's so much trunk space. It's amazing. And they look so nice inside. When you're inside, when you see the interior, the exterior doesn't even matter at all. It's just amazing. And I really want a nice car.
Okay, so again,
great car review, by the way.
Great car review.
That's a lovely review of the G-Wagon. I'm going to tell it.
She might have a future.
Yeah, there's a future in making Instagram and YouTube posts about cars. There we go, honey.
So this mother will cry, oh, I've got to work all the time to support my kid. You're buying a Bentley. I mean, bitch, sit down. You can drive a Prius. Scale your life back. Have some time and balance. A Bentley does not say that. If you're making enough money to have a Bentley, you're making enough money to take 4 hours off a day. Think about it. You can scale your life back to actually have something that this poor child, this traumatized child, is crying out for.
Yeah. Well, let's. I don't know. I mean, like, I think if the mother's working, she'd drive whatever the hell she wants.
The mother's working because this child's a nightmare.
She wants to get away from all this pressure.
Meanwhile, she's going.
Yeah, she wants to get away from her. She should have had an abortion.
A 16-hour day.
She wants
day,
to
I'm
give me
a
Mercedes C-Class.
Oh,
bitch.
I will accept that car.
No,
I would
start with a Honda or a Toyota, and then it's barely good.
I will be happy with that car, but the thing is, I want my G-Wagon. Right.
There we go.
I want my G-Wagon.
Did you hear that?
Really? A C-Class?
No, we started with a Honda, a Toyota. I started
absolutely
with a Toyota.
Not. I will not be driving anything that can be considered an Uber X.
A what?
An Uber X.
An Uber X?
Yes, we're going Uber Lux and above.
My car doesn't cost $231,000.
Why not? I mean, why doesn't it?
That just seems like an exorbitant amount to spend on a car. It just seemed foolish to me. I just wouldn't spend it on a car.
Well, I want to. We're talking about me here. Yeah. This is my show.
Yeah. Let's not forget.
This is me. And that is how it ends. We're talking about me here. This is my show. This is the kind of person who gives millennials a bad name. And I know loads of people who are young and who are talented and who've got a life ahead of them and they've got drive and they've got ambition and they want to change the world and they want to do things. This is the kind of person who just makes me crazy because there is not a thought for a fellow human being in all of this, not even her own mother. And the mother may be at fault. I mean, you know, Ben often, and he's right, he jumps to like the parents must have done something wrong. But I listened to this and I was just gobsmacked. What do you think of this? I mean, what's going on here? What would you tell her? What would you do if this was your daughter?
I can't even wrap my head around her reality. It is so far removed from what average people go through. To feel this is beyond entitled.
It almost feels made up, right? It's almost like she's a trained actor and she was brought on just to start a show for
like just like that Cash Me Outside girl. It does seem like it's made up, but this is actually, I think, how some people really are and how they strive to be.
There are people like this.
Like, she does not understand the concept of being grateful for something, working for something.
Hell no.
The difference between deserving something because you've worked hard for it or...
It's crazy, right?
Oh, what a life. And I actually feel bad for her because then you don't know the value of anything.
But I do know people in South Africa. These are not people I know personally, but I've heard from people who do. You know, it's a bit of hearsay, mm-hmm. so I can't 100% vouch for it. But that there are young girls and guys in South Africa who get fancy cars from their parents. They get these monstrous allowances. The parents are just, they do not realize the damage they're doing to their kids.
Mm. It kind of spills up to other things. Like, how's that kid going to experience real love? Because they'll see, it's always this give and take thing. So they'll have a boyfriend. If the boyfriend doesn't buy them jewelry within like a couple of months, that's gone. So they end up with abusive rich assholes, which I think is a system anyway out there.
Yeah, it's...
And like, how are you ever going to find meaningful work? Because you'll never get paid enough. Your time is always far too precious for anybody else. So it's a domino effect into the rest of life.
I think it starts out with good intentions as far as the parents are concerned. A lot of parents will tell you about how they grew up and how they want their children to have a better life.
Spot on. Right.
So the intention is good.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes it goes a little bit overboard, and then before you know it, you've raised an entitled little monster.
Oof. Jesus. I mean, I still am gobsmacked by this. All right. There are lots of things to talk about this morning. I want to get to some messages because I kind of ignored them yesterday. But Julian says, are you guys – oh, this is from yesterday. Can you please talk about the Trump deal, the Iran-Trump deal? I don't know because I haven't – you know, Julian, I listened to a little bit of the news on TV last night. I didn't hear anything about Trump's Iran deal. All I heard people talking about was Cyril Ramaphosa saying, shut up.
Which is still trending on Twitter.
Yeah, it's amazing that this is what people are talking about. But that's all I've got for you at the moment. I honestly don't know. I really don't know what the story is with this Trump deal in Iran. I believe it has to do with Trump has been trying to break the deal that John Kerry tried to make with Iran about nuclear disarmament. I don't know how that's gone because it seems to me to be very complicated. And it seems that there are people who are actively working for it to remain in place. I'll find out. Let me do some research around that. Because we did get an email from somebody yesterday. It's on my desk. Why don't you just go and grab it quickly? Mm-hmm. Someone who says we need to do more research. I'm like, yeah, all right. Never a bad idea to get more research in. It's just that we are not a news show. You understand that. We talk about the news, but we're not a news show. There isn't such a thing in South Africa because they're mostly gossip shows. We're a talk show. Here's something from someone else. She says, this girl is basically Eric Cartman from South Park.
Yeah, true.
And Gareth, that girl needs a smack, says someone. Guys, I watched the roast of Somizi. I think it was the roast of everyone on the panel other than Somizi. Anyway, that's quite nice.
Yeah. I actually got around to watching it yesterday. I had recorded it and it seemed that way. It was actually quite fun to watch. Some moments were massively cringeworthy, but more than that, it seemed like everyone really had this genuine love and admiration for Somiz. So it was just like guns blazing between everyone else. And then when it got Somiz, it was like, actually, you're an open book. There's nothing we can say about you.
Right. No, exactly. Someone says, someone keeps sending these Jesus emails to me. I mean, now there's this one this morning with a big picture of the cross.
I got a cross yesterday too.
Yeah. And someone's saying, guys, we have God the Most High to repent for our former selves, blah, blah, blah. Christ died for us. Have a good day.
Yeah. You got the wrong audience here, I think, bud.
You're really wasting
your
time.
Might be barking up the wrong crucifix here.
Can you not send us those, because it really means absolutely nothing to me.
Every single morning.
It just adds very little to the content flow. I mean, your beliefs are so aside. Other messages want to come through about talking about actual everyday things.
The Gareth Cliff Show needs to be more fact-based, says this person. I understand the unscriptedness and humor of the show, but there really needs to be more intellectual rigor and preparation. Simply reading headlines from News24 and giving a front-of-mind two-liner comment is below the standard of average journalism. Now, look, we're not journalists. And if that's what you're looking for, you're in the wrong place. Go and listen to another show. We're not suddenly going to become journalists. And what we try to do is get the things that are the most important that are going on around us and talk about them. Sometimes it's ridiculous. Sometimes it's really serious. The show's becoming like Alex Jones in its delivery. Many stories broadcast haven't been fact-checked. And you've used the word broadcasted. You know, if you're going to criticize me, I'm going to have to complain about your language use here. Fact-checked is simply taken at face value. I'm not suggesting an editorial team or less authenticity. All I'm saying, suggesting, not demanding, is that you speak the truth or at very least turn down the hyperbole levels from a consumer of your product. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I always appreciate getting feedback like this because it's helpful. And then they attach this thing about Jordan Peterson and how the Jordan Peterson blurb for his interview includes the word socialist, and then they give their own definition of socialist. I mean, take that up with Jordan Peterson because we actually had that discussion as a result of his definition coming through in the interview. So I would suggest that you're more than welcome to take it up with him. You can email him, find his address on the internet, and tell him what you think. But that's got nothing to do with us. And that is not a news program. That's an interview. It's about his book. So the context is all important here. And I don't mind a bit of feedback. I love a bit of feedback, you know. I've always said I would prefer feedback that's critical than feedback that's just praising. Because what are we going to do
you
with
know,
praise?
You know, once in a while, I'd appreciate a little praise, a little something.
Oh, no. We don't need that.
But asking for too much.
No, we don't need praise.
Okay.
Get that from the mirror every morning, sir.
Yes.
I'll get that from you. Thank you, Ben.
All right. So listen, just quickly, because we do have Justice coming in later. Mm-hmm. I thought this was interesting because I just got back on a plane. And when you board an aircraft, the cabin crew actually look at you and they can figure out a number of things.
What do you mean?
Because these are the things that they've surveyed a bunch of cabin crew and asked them, what are the things you notice about passengers?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that tip you off to what kind of a customer you've got on board?
Uh-oh.
So the first thing is your facial expression. And a lot of flight attendants' jobs are about service with a smile. So they always like it if they get a smile in return. So if you look miserable, and people don't even, they're not aware of this. I'm not aware of it sometimes. You walk around with this look on your face because maybe you're thinking about something that's going on, or, but you look miserable.
What if you just have a resting bitch face?
Yeah.
That's right. So this woman, Anne, who's been a flight attendant for 4 years, says, I'd say most of our domestic passengers are polite. They smile. They respond. They say thank you if you say welcome. She adds that she and her co-workers understand when people are grumpy. It's often because they've been harassed by, you know, security at the airport and agents at the boarding door. It's a stressful experience. Because they're so in tune with the stress that travelers go through, they sometimes treat a frown as a challenge to turn it upside down. Rachel, who's fresh out of training, because they obviously quoted a bunch of these steward and stewardesses, said, I look for passengers that do not have a smile on their face. A lot of times they don't even realize that they were frowning, and sometimes I just want to say something to cheer them up. Second thing they realize is that when they can tell something about you, is your greeting. Hello. Some people don't greet.
Nope.
I've noticed in
completely foreign to them to do so.
It's weird. I'll be sitting in economy, and I'll be in the window or the aisle or the middle, and whoever's next to me, the stewardess will come down the road with the trolley, and she'll say, would you like something to drink? And people don't say hello. They go, Coke Zero or whatever. They just bark this order at her. You think, wow. Yeah, where were you raised? By the same woman who's on Dr. Phil? And she said, a simple greeting, this one flight attendant, can make everything more pleasant. It's everyone's way of turning the day into something better. Hello and goodbye is something that one guy who works on a plane says. He says over 100 times every flight.
Oh, goodness.
So it's always nice to get a passenger who can return that greeting. Third of all, your body. Safety is the most important part of your flight. So flight attendants are always keeping their eyes peeled for able-bodied assistants. Apparently, one of the flight attendants who's been in the business for a while says that she looks for passengers in military uniform and those of physical strength who'd be able to assist her in cases of an evacuation or if there was an unruly passenger.
Oh, see, don't look at me for that. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't think they will. No. You have to tell them.
I don't like that. I don't like sitting next to the emergency.
Yeah, apparently they also look for people who are traveling on their own.
So for what?
Well, because people who have kids or a spouse are likely to be more focused on their safety than being able to help in an emergency.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just trying to sleep on my flight.
Yeah.
Don't expect too much.
But, I mean, if there's an emergency, see, you're going to wake up.
Oh, yeah. And
you're
I'll scream.
Sleep through the plane
I'll
crash.
Scream my head off as well. I won't. No,
I don't think anyone's running to help, to get Sia to help. One of the things that they're also trained to notice is unaccompanied minors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On board. They like to make sure that they give these youngsters all the perks, the special treatment, but also that they're well protected and looked after. And someone else says, if you're very old, they notice you, because then they also can't really rely on you to help them if there's an emergency. And the other thing they notice is the way you're dressed.
Ooh.
Yeah. There is a right place and right time for everything, and what a person decides to wear on a flight might be indicative of what they do and how they behave. Dressing down and blending in is more appropriate than wearing something uncomfortable or tight.
Okay.
When you come onto the flight, you're going to the club with 5-inch heels on. We wonder if you're in the right place in the morning, she said. I think most passengers got the right idea to dress down in comfortable clothes and blend in. Our seats and our toilets are getting smaller. You will need to be able to do a split just to get to your window seat if you want to be comfortable, says one of them.
Mm.
So obviously, you've got to look kind of, you know, comfortable. And then, she says, your health, the same stewardess says, you know, there are a lot of passengers who are not equipped to deal with air pressure, cramped cabins, altitude. So they try to avoid situations where a medical emergency could happen, especially on long international flights. So if a person doesn't look well, I ask the crew to keep an eye on them during boarding. She once spotted a passenger who was uncomfortable and noticed they were about to go into labor.
Oh. Sure.
Luckily, there were 5 doctors on board to assist.
Yeah.
How's that?
Goodness.
And then finally, like, if you show a bit of appreciation, they notice that too. They say, well, you know, if we bring you something, newspapers, magazines, or whatever, and you say thank you, it acknowledges us, and we're really happy about that, because often they don't get that. People just go, oh, well, I paid for this. I deserve it. You know, this person is like a servant almost.
Mm.
And then there are sometimes also things that they notice about people that is off. You know, there's something about their demeanor that makes them look like they might be dangerous or unusual. Or they might go into a panic attack or something. You've got to be aware of those people so that you can keep an eye on them. And they also said just one last thing, your baggage. Age-old struggle between humans and baggage is one thing that flight attendants know all about. They say that they're not just thinking about how to get your stuff stowed away. How much luggage you can bring on the plane is also a question of safety. One of the stewardesses says that when they're on a particularly small aircraft, they appreciate people who check their luggage and don't try to bring a huge big bag on board. That means that we're already informed our planes are smaller and bags cannot fit, but passengers are only required so many pieces of luggage on board. This can affect boarding and affect the time that everybody leaves. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to do this to suit myself. And then they get on board and they make everyone else wait while their bag is taken off and put in the stowage. It's crazy, right?
And I think what you will, but you can't be just focused on yourself in a situation like this.
No.
No, you're traveling.
But we always talk about what we want on a plane. We never think about what the flight attendants are there to do.
Yeah, and it must be difficult for them because they're not allowed to have a bad day at work.
Right.
We are allowed to complain about them if we feel that, you know, they're not being nice enough to us, but they can't complain about us. And they deal with unruly passengers all the time, but they're not allowed to complain. It must be,
yo, it's right.
Must
not
be quite annoying.
Gig. It no, is not
with
an
people's
easy
shit.
Gig. I remember... Well, my most recent and longest flight, which is coming back to South Africa after my holiday, my friend and I started drinking.
On the plane?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And shouting.
It's allowed.
Well, because we just thought, there's turbulence, sidebar, experiencing turbulence while drunk is amazing. And halfway through, we saw this very cute part of the cabin crew, this very cute guy, and we were like, oh, is he gay? Is he straight? And she was saying, I'm sure he's straight. And I was like, no, I'm sure he's gay.
Because you both want him for
so
yourself.
So in our drunk minds, we thought it was perfectly acceptable to just hit on him bluntly.
Wow.
And we see who he responds to. And after a while, I really felt so bad for this guy because we were making our advances explicitly known.
Did he hit on either of you back?
Oh, no.
No, he wasn't interested.
I think now that, you know, now that I look back on it, we were messy and slurring everywhere. Not a pretty sight.
All right. Quick messages and then we'll get to the headlines with Mubs. By the way, the Trump-Iran thing, you can listen to Trevor Noah's Daily Show yesterday on podcast for a quick synopsis. I will do that. Thank you. And relating to this morning's topic, if I had to talk to my mom like that girl, I would have been fucked up with a wooden spoon or a slipper. Be told to fuck off.
Yeah.
No, I think that's probably true for a lot of people's moms. Moms are hardcore. Some moms. Still struggling to listen through the website, but the stream is working. Thank you for the feedback. And then someone says there's a great quote by Khalil Gibran. Out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls. The most massive characters are seared with scars.
True.
That's nice. Just relating back to the fact that so many parents try to raise their kids without any pressure, without any difficulty, without struggle, and they end up these weak human beings. Now, what is a birthday without any presents? Well, we want to celebrate our birthday with you, and we want to share some love with you for listening to us. You've been part of our Unradio family, and now we want you to enjoy the Unwired Revolution, Mubs. For our fourth birthday, CliffCentral.com is giving away the Cliff Central Unwired earphones to you. You know, a lot of people were mailing me saying we would love to buy these, but we don't have money around now. And, you know, it's been a tough month, blah, blah, blah. So we thought, well, let's give away a few of these. So we're actually giving away a whole bunch of Cliff Central Unwired earphones. And you can enter. Here's how you do it. You tell us why you love what we're up to here, which show, whatever it is that you like. Just tell us why you love CliffCentral.com. Include the hashtag Cliff Central turns 4 in your post. That's one word. Cliff Central turns 4. And you stand a chance to be one of our lucky winners. The reason we want the hashtag is so that we can find everything on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. It all comes in and then we can filter it so we can see who the entries are. So that's Cliff Central turns 4. And you stand the chance to be one of the lucky winners. It's that simple. So go crazy on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even our WhatsApp line. Hashtag Cliff Central turns 4 and tell us why you love listening to us.
And it's the number 4, right?
That's right. Discover more by visiting cliffcentral.com and you can find out all about the Unwired earphones and why people want them. They connect wirelessly to any smartphone, laptop or tablet and they are brilliant for listening to podcasts, music videos and even phone calls. I gave a pair of these to a friend of mine in England and he is loving them. He says he hops on the train in the morning and he listens the whole way to work and the whole way home.
Yep, and I'm still running with them. Still works.
Very good.
Sweaty.
See?
Turbulence.
There we go.
Terrain.
You've handled it. Wind. I mean, if they can survive you, Ben, you know, a drone lasts about 3 weeks before you crash it.
I'm getting better at both. But yeah, are you? Put a full session of gym in with it yesterday. I listened to podcasts. It was great.
Excellent. All right, so there we go. Get a pair of those earphones, and if you can't afford any, and you really want a pair now, then enter our competition. Who knows? We could make you a winner. It's time for my buddy.
Sorry, I just needed to clear my throat there at the end. Something got caught in there. Okay, so it's been an interesting and confusing couple of days as far as the ANC in the Northwest is concerned.
Jeez.
The Provincial Executive Council has made it clear that their leader, Supra Mahumapelo, is not quitting. He is simply taking a leave of absence. It was at exactly the same time yesterday that I was telling you about how he had resigned. Well, apparently they made him withdraw his resignation, and they're now saying that no, he's just going on a leave of absence.
Unbelievable.
And then last night, a provincial media officer confirmed that the Northwest Finance MEC Wendy Nelson is to act as premier in his absence. The only problem here is allegations that have been leveled against Nelson. Mm-hmm. Back in March, the Northwest Health and Social Development Portfolio Committee laid corruption charges against her and Mahuma Pelu, and this was in the wake of investigations into suspected 160 million rand fraud, corruption, and maladministration relating to Gupta-linked medical services.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And then over in Camp DA, the mess continues.
God.
Wow.
What's going on there?
So the Nelson Mandela Bay mayor, Ethel Trollope, is now facing an attempt to remove him from office. And this is the third time that they're going after him. A motion of no confidence is scheduled for today after previous attempts ended in chaos. Last month's sitting was indefinitely adjourned after a shouting match led to the collapse of the meeting. Efforts to remove Trollope began when the DA refused to back an EFF-sponsored motion in Parliament to have the constitution amended.
I heard that Ethel Trollope has got the finances back on track in Port Elizabeth.
Yeah, because that was in the toilet, like literally.
Yeah, so I don't think he's the problem here. I mean, I know the DA have got a whole bunch of steaming shit on their plate right now. This Patricia DeLille situation is insane. We'll talk to Justice about it. But Ethel Trollope does not seem to be the problem in PE. I hate to say it, he's not the one smashing jugs on people's heads. He's not the one who's making it ungovernable in terms of the disruptions that are being caused in the city council. It's not him. I don't think he's the problem.
And yet this is the third time they're going to try and get rid of him.
Yeah, and they're failing and failing and failing at that, which means that not only are the people who are trying to stop him ineffective, they're also really amateurish. Anyway, let's see what happens.
We all know the London Eye, right? Huge tourist attraction.
Big wheel that people go on. I've never been on it. I'm not that interested.
Yeah. Well, apparently Durban is to have its own.
But there's one in Cape Town as well, right?
Mm.
Yeah, at the waterfront.
So KZN obviously has many tourist attractions that are being developed, and the Durban Eye is just one of them. The project is expected to cost 375 million rand.
I heard they're going to paint it brown and call it the Brown Eye.
Wow.
Is that right?
I actually don't have a comeback for that.
Sorry.
So it is an attraction that will be similar to the London Eye. Tourism KZN said that the Durban Eye is like a large Ferris wheel that will offer amazing panoramic views of the city and the ocean. It will also have 27 fully enclosed air-conditioned cabins that can hold 16 passengers.
Well, that sounds good. Durban, I like Durban. Durban has got great weather all year round. It's a good place. It's got some very pretty vistas. It's got that gorgeous ocean. You know, it's an interesting place. I heard that they're actually taking a whole lot of sand from the side where the bluff is, and they're restocking the sand in the beaches along Durban.
Yes, because how does sand disappear? Well, it gets eroded? What's happening?
Yeah, you got tides.
Different developments and tides, and suddenly the ocean sees the coastline differently, so it acts differently.
Yeah, it's not all bad.
But what are people with the bluff going to say about this?
Well, it's rough in the bluff.
Give us back our sand.
Is that how they sound?
just play the clip. Don't judge me.
All right.
I just typed in the bluff on YouTube, that's all.
That's what came up. All right.
How do we feel about naked people in a museum?
Go for it.
Well, is it Shia LaBeouf again?
Is it people from The Bluff?
No.
Shia LaBeouf and The Bluff, they rhyme.
The Palais de Tokyo in Paris have got you covered if you feel like walking around naked in a museum. If that's been your life goal, if that's been the biggest dream you've ever had, well, Paris has now got a museum that's opening its door to nudists.
Oh, that's great.
Guests arrive, they check their clothing into the cloakroom before wandering the halls of the museum to admire the sculptures and striking paintings completely butt naked.
That's nice. I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. You're allowed to. Listen, the problem with nudity is that the wrong people are nude.
Yeah.
Yep. If you've ever been to one of these nudist colonies, and I haven't, but I've heard from people who do go, it's old people and fat people who go to the nude colonies. Now, who wants to see that? You know, if there was a nudist colony where like only supremely hot people went, Jesus, we'd all be banging down the doors to get in there, right? We would. We'd be like, come on, we want to see. In fact, people would go like the Kruger Park. They'd go with a pair of binoculars and they'd drive around through the park trying to find the nude people. But ugly and old people, hell no. Yeah. No one wants to see that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yep, those are the things that you need to know for now.
That's good. We also need to know what the cryptocurrencies are doing today. So let's take a look at that. Bitcoin currently trading at $9,441.07 and Ethereum at $772.91. They're both starting to tick up slightly after a pretty good week so far this week and a little bit of a down yesterday, but we'll see how it goes. Not all bad. So the others all look okay too. Nothing sterling happening anywhere though. And I'm sorry for you if you own Bitcoin Gold. Nothing happening there. Let's go to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. And then we'll find out from Sia what's in Said by Sia. That's next too. Justice Malala coming up with The Burning Platform a little bit later on.
All right, Swansea, West Brom, and Stoke are all going to have much less attractive girlfriends next year. They're in the Nationwide Division League One thingy.
What does that mean? They've been demoted?
Yeah, go down is the thing. So what that means in English culture is that you go down. You know, you've got last year's Range Rover. You've got less orange girls. You get invited to less premiers. That kind of stuff. So they're gone. Which is a shame, but this is how sport works. And then the top three, well, it's just relegation promotion. It's an exciting part of the season because, as we know, the English League, Man City won this ages ago. And we all like watching the fans cry. Well, at least I do. And it's just where I am in my sporting career. So the big story from yesterday's results, though, Chelsea fluffed their chance to get back in the Champions League. Now, between them, Liverpool and Spurs, all tightly poised between that third and fifth quadrant. Man United, they're assured top four spot. They're in second place with a game in hand on 77 points. Spurs, though, they won last night against Newcastle. Newcastle, they fluffed a lot of chances, but, you know, they're safe in the league, so maybe they're a little bit too cozy. So Spurs beat Newcastle. They go to 74 points. Liverpool did not play. They got their game on the weekend, so they're on 72. Chelsea drew with Huddersfield. Just sounds embarrassing. At home. So they drew there. So they are now on 70 points. So with one game to go, they need Liverpool to lose, basically. And then they need a win. That'll get them to 73 over the 72. But I don't think so. Arsenal, happy in their spot, sixth. That's where Arsenal will gladly leave them. They lost to Leicester last night, 3-1. In other news from around the European leagues, we all know Paris Saint-Germain are far too good, so they won. We know Barcelona won La Liga. And we know that now Juventus has won the Italian league.
So it's only the Germans left.
Well, it's Bayern Munich. They win every year.
Oh, right. Okay. So well, that's no question there.
We didn't even talk about that, really. Juventus hammered AC Milan last night, so they won 4-0, and that's it. Oh, no, wait. Sorry, that's the Italian Coppa Italia. God, I cocked that up. That's a little cup thing. What I did want to tell you about was Barcelona.
Yes.
Barcelona are two games away from being unbeaten in a season. Now, you say, unbeaten, top side, lots of money, that's possible. No, it really isn't. They are playing in La Liga. That means that every year in La Liga, they've got to play Atletico Madrid twice. They've got to play Real Madrid twice. They've got to play a whole bunch of good teams twice. Plus, they've got to go to like some arsene places like Leganés and play them in front of like screaming people with stuff in their face. So it's not easy to be unbeaten. And you got to rest your stars from time to time. Two games left, which means they would have gone 38 games without losing a match in La Liga. Absolutely incredible. The last time a team was unbeaten was in 1931-1932. It was Real Madrid.
Wow, is that
but
how
back
long?
Back then there were only 18 games in the season, so less than half of what they got going. So this is something quite special. And yes, Barcelona fluffed in the Champions League, and that's all they'll really be judged upon. But this is incredible. To witness this in our sporting times really is quite something. Also, good news is Sir Alex Ferguson is out of intensive care. He had a brain hemorrhage, and at any age, a brain hemorrhage isn't something you just walk off. So 76-year-old Sir Alex Ferguson is out. He's going back to normal life and obviously will just resume, I guess, his life of horse racing, drinking, and saying things about footballers, which is how everyone wants to live, really.
He's allowed to, right?
I just hope he can do it with the same sort of gusto, that's all. That's where I'm going with this.
Poor Salix.
Yeah. Sepp Blatter, we all know him. He's this holier-than-thou-old git who basically has really nice things to say about football now that he's out of it being a corrupt sort of liar. He says he's totally against these joint bid World Cups. So yesterday in the sport, I told you how Mexico, Canada, and the USA are putting together the greatest bid forever of FIFA.
But this is a real thing.
Yeah, 2026.
Yeah, they're all going to do it together.
This year we got Russia, which is in 35 days' time. I'll give you a Russian fact in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Qatar, 2022. And then 2026, the America, Mexico, Canada axis of nothing in similarity whatsoever.
Ah, that's gone.
They believe they can make $11 billion for the tournament. So wow. FIFA are like, bam, you guys talk your language. But yeah. Uncle Sepp, he's like, no, this is stupid. You can't have these countries put together, because even if you've got one country that's not suitable, you can't have it. You just simply can't have a World Cup game ever in a country that's not suitable. He said that Mexico, Canada, and the USA were all strong enough to have their own bids, so why didn't they have their own bids? Now, of course, Sepp, for all his dodginess, I mean, the guy's been around the block. The guy knows how to make a deal.
You're saying he has a point?
And he's got, well, Gareth, I mean, who has run South Africa the best since post-apartheid?
That's true.
It was Uncle Sepp. He was the best president we had.
That's right.
Came in here, he ruled with an iron, yet fairish kind of fist. He brought razzmatazz, he brought money, he did a lot of things.
That's right. I can't argue.
And it was proven there was less crime when Sepp was in charge of South Africa.
So corrupt as he is, he was a good president.
He knows a couple of things, how things work. And he said when it was a joint bid between Japan and South Korea, he said it was a nightmare. Logistically, it's a nightmare because you've got to go between countries.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. So even though it's going to be this mega bid, it's just stupid. He also said that this whole League of Nations kind of thing where there's like this elite World Cup, he also said that's a pile of crap. So the... Over to you, Gianni Infantino, because as much as, like I said, Sepp, he was a criminal, dodgy old git, but the guy's speaking some sense here. And if you are running an organization where Sepp Blatter can basically poke holes in you, yeah, you're not doing so well.
No, you probably need the criticism.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's also not doing so well.
But it's always awful when like someone leaves a job and then they criticize the new guy who comes in.
But it's awful when that guy has a really good point. So it's not even him being malicious. Sepp's just basically pointing out what we were all seeing.
Right.
FIFA are, they just need to get back to basics. Football is the world's game. It's not your game. Just
fair
facilitate
enough.
It. Just put it up there. Make sure it ticks over. Let's not get too greedy, ambitious, or so like, hungry for stardom. I think that's what these guys do, unfortunately. Yeah. And I said to you a couple of weeks ago, it's election year, so Infantino's got to pull some various farm animals out of a hat this year. I tell you, he's not doing so well. It's Israel Folau. Well, in his eyes, obviously, he's doing great in the eyes of God, but he's just being a dick constantly over and over. You know, there's the whole thing about him saying gay people are going to hell and blah, 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 blah. And people are saying, look, Israel, you know, just tone it down a bit, bud. You know, you can love Jesus and all that, but you don't have to be such a hard ass about it. Very good article in the Sydney Morning Herald by Peter Fitzsimmons. He's saying, like, you know, you can have various views about Israel Folau, and you can have this whole thing about free speech, and you can say what he wants, but is he free of consequence? This is a very good point that this guy's made in the article.
Okay.
So, Israel Folau, he is a rugby union star. He's got a massive fan base in the general Polynesian community. So, when he's tweeting about the fact that you can't be gay, bro, what's going to happen? Since, in the last couple of years, the suicide rate of youngsters, 5 times stronger with the homosexual communities. 5 times stronger. Because of this kind of hate and dodgy rhetoric this guy's throwing out time and time again. And this week he did it again. So after meeting with Rugby Australia A or whatever, they said, look, this isn't in keeping with our sponsors, it's in keeping with who we are as a union, so please just chill out. But no, this week he again put a video
back at it, huh?
He put a video out about a dead homophobic pastor who was basically saying, Jesus is coming and you better not be gay because he's in a cast you're assigned to. So stop being gay because Jesus is coming.
And he shared this.
Generally, he shared the whole video. Yeah. It's one of those like Kirk Cameron kind of productions.
Fire and brimstone.
Yeah, it's like Jesus is coming, so you know, let's act accordingly.
Listen,
stop being gay.
Even if you do believe in Jesus, if you think he's that interested in people's sex lives, you're not praying to a god, you're praying to a pervert. I mean, who's that interested in people's bedroom antics?
Yeah.
Who cares? Who's so fascinated by who everyone else is sleeping with? Ask yourself this question. If that is your obsession and you're supposed to be a supreme deity, How much attention are you paying to like the supernovas and the nebulas and the galaxies that are crashing into each other? Well, zero.
In this video, basically refers to when Jesus comes back and you're still gay, you're basically going to be like a rat caught in a trap.
Oh.
Because when he gets here, he's going to account all of those who have succumbed to the sexual attraction they feel towards their own gender. The very one Lord presumably put them in this.
What an incredible thing to be obsessed with. Yeah. I mean, like, you've got to be gay yourself to be as obsessed as that. I mean no ill by this. Why would you be that obsessed with someone else's sexual orientation? It seems so weird.
Oh, but he is right. We'll succumb, all right. We'll suck and we'll come.
You know what? I'm into women. I've never had the same sex attraction, but I will be caught on the with the gays out of solidarity for this, Israel. And the rest of you think this. And finally, Serena Williams will not play in the Italian Open. She's still not ready. This is quite frustrating because everybody wants Serena to come back, obviously.
Yes.
But she's still not ready. And I'll tell you who is ready are the world's best golfers. They're about to play in the Players' Championship. So look out today with the start. Tiger Woods is mixed with Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler. That's a huge group.
Ooh.
Another big group is Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy. Like I said, this is the best field in golf. Bubba Watson will take the tee with Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka is back. That was the US Open champion who injured his wrist. Siwoo Kim, who's a former winner. He'll take place in the first tee with Adam Scott and Martin Kaymer. And Jason Day, who won last week, former world number one, who had back injuries and all kinds of other things. He's back in the mix. He'll be playing with Henrik Stenson and Sergio Garcia. And finally, Patrick Reed, the sort of slightly disgraced Masters champion, depending on how you see family commitments. He'll be playing with Jon Rahm and Hideki Matsuyama.
Pardon, quick one. What does take the tee mean? Like
go into the first tee. It's like you take the stage, you're a performer.
Okay.
Take to the first tee. It's not really a phrase, it's just how I structure the sentence.
Oh, that's all I just needed to know. All right.
Okay, there's your sport for today. And remember, guys, don't be gay. Israel Folau won't like you.
Oh.
Right.
Because it all matters right, to thanks. Be liked by him as well.
Of course, it's hugely important.
It's very helpful, Ben. Okay, let's turn our attention to Sia and see what he has for us this morning. Sia, there's lots of positive news around, so what have you chosen from it?
This morning...
Which music do we want? The Mucky, Sticky, Nasty, Ho one? Or which one are we going for here?
Let's go with the normal and the all basics right. here. This morning I wanted to raise up this story for two reasons. Firstly, people in the likes of the Air Force are so used to saving lives, but very rarely can they say they saved a life on social media. Now, hear me out. Most importantly, I think the big thing that I took out of the story is following your gut. Do you know how so many times we have this niggly feeling within us and we're like, ah, I wish I had listened to that. Yes. Well, this man in the Air Force followed his gut and really paid off for someone in an awesome way. So an Air Force rookie is now being credited for saving the life of another airman, but the rescue did not take place while they were out on location somewhere. It actually took place on social media. His name is Senior Airman Charles Woomer from the Fairchild Office of Special Investigations in Washington, and he was browsing through an Air Force page on the website Reddit. Do you know that?
Yes.
This happened last week Friday when he noticed something that his gut just sparked over. Amidst all of these posts and discussions on Reddit, there was one particular comment from another Reddit user who was asking how his life insurance policy would pay off for his family if, in inverted commas, something were to happen to him before he separated from the military. Now, this made Charles Woomer just raise an eyebrow because that just seemed so odd to him. Why would someone innocently ask something about a life insurance policy? So that is when he expressed concern over this airman's tone. And Charles just took it a step further because he was suspecting that this man was about to commit suicide so that his family were to be paid out from the insurance policy. So as a means of ensuring
that's not good.
Yeah, you know, and he's got to speak to him with this. So Charles then really took this 400 steps forward. He contacted employees at Google and Reddit to secure the user's identity. Then upon explaining the situation of what he suspected, he contacted his own supervisor, and look at this, they made 25 different phone calls to get in touch with the office at which this Reddit commenter was stationed in Georgia. So this turned out right. Eventually, leaders of the base approached the airman and confirmed that actually he was planning on committing suicide by the end end of the week. According to a statement released by the Fairchild Air Force Base, the airman had actually been diagnosed with depression in the past, and he was prescribed medication for his symptoms, and his suicidal ideas have returned because his medicine recently ran out. This airman is actually grateful that Charles Wimmer stepped in and has now been taken to a nearby medical facility. Now, had he succeeded in committing suicide, he would have left behind his wife and his two children, which are aged 4 and 9. So when the news of this incident spread to the Air Force page on Reddit, Charles Wimmer was praised for his actions. Some people just...
So basically, this guy saved a life.
Absolutely. Just so from just one comment and his gut speaking to him. So, look, he didn't have to do this. And what if he had done it and was met with a response of someone who didn't care at all and had decided that he wanted to end his life and he didn't care at all? But imagine this guy actually had just run out of medication, had been suffering depression, and really did need someone to step up and help him. And it worked out amazingly. Well, isn't that something? I think let's just follow that. Follow your gut. Sometimes it is the right thing to do. That's your said by Sia for this morning.
And help other people.
Yeah.
You know, it costs you nothing. All right, beautiful. I love it. Thank you, Sia. When we come back, Justice Malala and the Burning Platform. That's just around the corner. So stick around for your chance to hear the most important and relevant political analysis you will find anywhere with Justice Malala right here on cliffcentral.com. And also you can get hold of us, as you know, by WhatsApping 0797482090. We're still looking for the right person to come and take on a job here at cliffcentral.com. We had a couple of auditions the other day. We'll have some more auditions, the ones who have to audition from other parts of South Africa. They'll be on Skype or on the phone line, so we can check them out. And if you want to get your entry in, send a 100-word summary, a 100-word motivation for why you think you should work here, and send it to, who should we send it to, Sia?
Untapped@cliffcentral.com.
Thank you very much. So many email addresses, I get confused. All right, very good. So make sure you do that ASAP.
This is cliffcentral.com.